us. There are too many men upstairs with all their cop cars and everything.
That's what they're always telling you.
Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are. Never let the man that you're against form your opinions. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing, an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people that everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. The majority of the American people aren't segregationists. That the majority of the American people aren't imperialists. But the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So, how then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are. And how this they are and how that they are.
There you go. That's it right there. That's all we need. 1 minute. And people in this country need to just go away and think about that. Just ruminate on that. Turn the screens off. Don't need to read anything, or just start letting those words rattle around a little bit and then look around at, or just kind of reflect on things that you've read or seen or heard. And I think it'll all come clear just in that 1 minute or so from Malcolm X. And he was absolutely right. So much has been written about this. And it really all just sort of comes down to that. Just boils right down to that. And, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, it's painfully obvious. But because of our own greed and other things, I'll leave those out for the moment. But because of our own complicity in our own cognitive bias, we ignore certain things. You know, we buy into slogans like we're exporting freedom and democracy, which apparently we need to define terms, because I don't think the people we're exporting that to would call those things by the same terminology. You know, we've had this Orwellian dance going on for quite some time. The Department of Defense has not defended anything, as far as I can tell, in the last, 70 or 80 years. It's been entirely offense as the tip of the NATO spear. And, you know, guys like Muammar Gaddafi say so every once in a while. And then something bad happens. Something more bad or something else bad happens. We have the lessons, you know, but do we take the time? It's just fascinating, you know, absolutely fascinating. Hayek told us in The Road to Serfdom the three reasons. And, you know, in part of reason number two, well, he said, you know, the second negative principle of selection, why the worst get on top, the demagogue will be able to obtain the support of the docile, all the docile and gullible, who have no strong convictions of their own but are prepared to accept a ready-made system of values if it is only drummed into their ears sufficiently loudly and frequently. And how much more so when we have a society that has been groomed. You know, we have the general mass of America now basically groomed as a gelded sort of caste underclass. People don't realize it. I mean, nobody reads Plato or any of that old stuff these bad guys have sort of distilled. And hoarded to themselves, and so they don't see it. But Hayek wrote, here comes in the Second negative principle of selection, he, the demagogue, will be able to obtain the support of all the docile and gullible who have no strong convictions of their own, but are prepared to accept a ready-made system of values if it is only drummed into their ears sufficiently loudly and frequently. It will be those whose vague and imperfectly formed ideas are easily, and they're not even their ideas, obviously. You know, they're infected with a mind virus. They think it's their own. In cybernetic fashion, they've been tricked in the way that Michael Lewis writes about in The Undoing Project. And it's so effective that, like Twain and others have observed in history, it's easier to trick them than to convince them they've been tricked. No, no, you can't convince them. And the more academic they are, oh my goodness, forget it. You'll never convince them that they've been tricked, which was what another one of those, you know, maxims of history, cliche, that, you know, Jamath Palihapitiya was talking about at that Stanford School of Business talk he gave. You guys are the worst. He's talking to the audience. Stanford Business School. These guys are like, what? We're the cream of the crop. You guys are the worst. You've been checkboxing your whole, you know what lives, he said. You guys are, you know, you guys are the poster child for this stuff. You'll be lucky if you ever find your way out of this matrix you've been groomed into. So Hayek wrote, it will be those whose vague and imperfectly formed ideas are easily swayed and whose passions and emotions are readily aroused who will thus swell the ranks of the totalitarian party. I keep trying to tell people say, you know, the whole election scam, oh my goodness. And, you know, and if we don't get it right this time, and you say, it's been this way since before I was born, literally. We keep talking about every once in a while Dick Gregory's 1968 presidential bid. Pennsylvania says, you know, Gregory is winning in a landslide. Oops, nope, you know what? And what was that? That was the Voter Election Service, I think is what it was called then, the VES, I want to say. And then the VNS, and now the National Election Pool. No, it was the NES, I think, National Election Service, I think it was. Anyway, same organization, allegedly collecting exit poll data. No one's ever heard of an exit poll or seen one. But somehow they magically, mysteriously gather this data, project winners of races, and they're never wrong. It's amazing. It's not who counts the votes, it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. It's been like that for decades. Now suddenly, and people, it escapes people's attention, apparently, that the same press that is manipulating all of this other information is telling you about this election scam. Why do you suppose the same press that is manipulating all of this other information, feeding you all of this other misinformation, in fact, why are they telling you about this all of a sudden? Why haven't we heard about it for the last 20 years that people like Greg Palast were writing about it? Isn't that kind of something to maybe think about a little bit? But you say these things and people just carry on with their... It's just astonishing. Absolutely a head-scratcher to me. I want to go to the phones in a minute, but before we do, I want to play this clip again. Pastor John MacArthur on why he and his congregation have stepped around Governor Newsom's COVID order was the title of the interview with Eric Metaxas, but this little excerpt is, I think, worth listening and re-listening to. Go ahead, please.
Well, I get the impression that we're living in a time where Christians are being forced to stand up for what they believe in a way that we haven't been forced to do. In other words, what we're going through right now is challenging. In writing my book on Bonhoeffer, Romans 13, people haven't really worked out what does it mean to be a Christian in a culture that is telling you to do things perhaps that you disagree with. At what point do you cross that line? So give us, it's almost like I could say, gee, I wish John MacArthur were here and he could tell me how he interprets that with regard to where we are now. So since we don't have John MacArthur, we'll just throw the question to you.
Well, look, the bottom line is this. Our church, for 50 years that I've been the pastor, 51 years actually, in the city of L.A., has been the greatest friend to this city that any church could ever have been. We've got plaques all over the place given to us by the city. We have an award that I just got a couple of weeks ago from the Los Angeles Police Department, a beautiful plaque. We do police training here. We honor the police. We have a police, Sunday. We have funerals for firefighters that die. We have funerals for policemen that die. Romans 13 is all about that. It's all about the people who bear the sword to protect those who do good and punish evildoers. That's God's design for government. They are ministers of God for the sake of the survival of society. I mean, look, think of it this way. God has put restraints in the world because sin is in every human heart. And when millions of sinners collide with each other, the potential for complete disruption of any kind of normal life is there. So God restrains with the conscience and the law that he wrote in the human heart. That's individual restraint. In the family, with the discipline of a mother and particularly a father. In the society, with the police who bear the sword. That's the ultimate weapon, the threat of death, to protect those who do good and punish those who do evil. And then finally, the influence of the church. So what we've seen in our society is the destruction of the human conscience, wiping out the law of God, retraining people's brains with homosexuality, transgender, immorality, you name it, so that they don't know what the law of God is. Their conscience doesn't know how to function. And if it does, they're told to silence their conscience because they shouldn't feel guilty. Then crush the family, wipe out the family, destroy fathers, and go after the police. Defund the police, and now you've eliminated the personal restraint, the family restraint, the societal restraint, and then go after the church and shut the church down. And you've got literally a satanic free-for-all going on in society because they have removed all the God-given restraints. That's exactly the process that we're seeing play out.
Well, when we talk about Romans 13, a lot of Christians, again, forgive me for referencing Bonhoeffer, but you know, I've given hundreds of talks on Bonhoeffer, and inevitably somebody in the church will say, I don't understand. How can a man of God get involved in a plot, you know, to kill the head of state? You know, they're making this distinction as though everybody else might do that, but not a man of God. And they misunderstand that, you know, we are all equal at the cross, and that so what's right for me is right for the next guy. What's wrong for the next guy is wrong for me. So the point is, clearly Bonhoeffer does something that we all would say is heroic. But there are Christians out there, and I think they get very theologically fussy, that say, no, he ought not to have raised his hand or his voice against the state because it says clearly in Scripture you're not supposed to do that. So how do you interpret that line about when we feel that we ought to be civilly disobedient? What you and your parishioners are doing, to my mind, is the greatest example of civil disobedience. But where is that line? I mean, when somebody says, I don't get it, it's clear in Scripture there is no line, never. Clearly, we differ with those people.
Yeah, of course. Look, we obey the law when the law is righteous, when the people in authority are righteous, when they are protecting those who do good and punishing those who do evil. In the case of Hitler, if you had an opportunity to eliminate Hitler and didn't do it, you would have failed to fulfill a righteous opportunity. In other words, if you were a military person or you were associated in an underground movement and you had the opportunity to literally bring capital punishment to bear upon a man who was massacring millions of people, and you were empowered to do that, to defend what is right and what is righteous and stop evil, I would say you need to take that opportunity if you had that opportunity and you were within the framework of those who were given the authority to do that. So this is not to say you roll over and allow any tyrant to do whatever he wants to do. So you could say, well, this isn't Hitler yet. Right. But this is still tyranny. It doesn't start with massacring 6 million Jews. It doesn't start with massacring 13 million people between Russia and Germany in the killing fields in those years from the late 30s and the early 40s. It starts this way. It starts with intrusion into the life of the church. And the violation of law is by the governor, because that's against the First Amendment. And again, I say, if we had a compelling reason not to meet because people were dying in the streets, that would be different. It's just not the case. I read the other day that they said 650 people in the country have contracted coronavirus from going to church. 650 out of 4 million, and so we ought not to go to church. The whole narrative just does not stand up. And so we have to take a stand where it's easy to do. It isn't hard for me to do this. This is an intrusion. I need to protect my church, the people of the church, and hold up the truth.
There you go. That's an interesting... I think that's a perspective you don't get everywhere. Anyway, let's go to the phones and grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
AmazingDiscoveries.org. AmazingDiscoveries.org. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
AmazingDiscoveries.org.
Yep. Yep, we got it.
The last two clips, the first one you played, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But here's how stupid people are. I shouldn't say it like that. Ignorant. We'll use that. And that includes a lot of hosts. On a show I heard last week, this guy calls in and he says, well, the government says they're going to give the coronavirus shot first to the blacks and not to whites. Well, what the hell does that man think? We're trying on RBN, at least some of the hosts, are trying to get people not to take the virus shot, the vaccine. But here is this person, a caller, the listeners of RBN, talking to the host. Well, the government wants to give the blacks the coronavirus first, and us whites, we don't get it. Do you follow me, the logic that that person is saying? That's a question, Chris.
I think I do. I think, but if I follow what you're saying, I'm surprised that person's even listening to RBN, let alone calling in, unless that person is or something.
I agree with you, but the host goes along with him. Now, the first clip you played, that's the general feeling of most people.
I completely disagree.
Well, a good many of them.
I don't think most people are even clued in to that extent. I wish
hey,
that
I'm
were...
I'm not finished, and the break's coming up. Yeah. I want to talk, okay?
Yep. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having. And I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So we're on the phones. We have Fred in Iowa on the line, and Fred, we're talking about Malcolm X, the clip we played of him talking about media manipulation. The first thing you take over is the radio, and you start telling people how free they are and how this they are and that they are, and you said that most people were generally aware of that. We're all kind of on the same page, and I respectfully disagree.
No, they're not aware of what's happening. What he said is that the government is doing it. Black Lives Matter and Antifa, it isn't the Ku Klux Klan that's doing it. There's a lot of KK hosts. I wouldn't name them, except the next three after you. But people goes right over their head. They don't think. They don't analyze. You gotta look at your own soul. And I'll talk about the temporal sword and the physical sword. But the second clip you played, I was a preacher in L.A.
51 years.
I don't agree with that man. And I'm a Protestant Christian. And I'll die a Protestant. It's not that I can't learn and won't learn if I see that I am doing wrong or unrighteous. And every day of my life, I go through hell. to control my own self. And only the Holy Spirit can do it. But you've got to be malleable and have faith. Faith unto death. Your life means less than your faith. Okay. When that second clip, there is the man that holds the temporal sword. But when state and church go together, and they're just about there now, the church has the temporal sword. But if you don't go along with the Antichrist, the church that is in power, then he will use the state to burn you at the stake, incarcerate you, cut your head off, all in the name of Jesus. Now, when people get so stupid that they think that we have to stand up and kill women and children in other nations, tribes, races, and color, that never done a damn thing to us. Well, we're going to stand up for our baby killers. We're going to stand up for our police that are corrupt. Not all, but a righteous policeman or a righteous soldier with a conscience and a fear of the Lord wouldn't do these things. And we wonder why there's so many suicides when these GIs, these kids come back. Right. And that's because whether they went to church on the first day of the week, which isn't the holy day, their conscience bothers them so bad, pitifully so bad, that they take their own life. People, can you understand that?
No, it's something I don't think most people can wrap their heads around. I think a lot of it has to do with this. I don't think that we should be infected with the cultural Marxist, you know, toxic America mind virus, but we need to be more introspective. And I don't think people, generally speaking, are willing to come to grips with what's actually happening. And as I've said many times, you know, guys like Dr. Martin Seligman, being the guy who brought into spearhead comprehensive soldier fitness, beginning with mental fitness, that's, you know, that's like having Mengele running your mental fitness program and, you know, trying to convince these people that still have a conscience not to have one, basically, so they're not committing suicide. It's very diabolical, and I think most Americans are willing to confront that.
More to say.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast, this Monday, December 28th, 2020, between Christmas and New Year's. We're on the phones. Fred in Iowa, go ahead.
Yes. The only person that can sanctify us is Christ. He's the only mediator. It isn't a woman. It isn't a priest. It isn't a pastor. It isn't the Virgin Mary. It isn't your pastor in a Protestant church. It isn't a priest in a Catholic church.
Right, right.
Why would a go into a little wooden box? Think about this. Go into a little wooden cubicle and spill their guts to a pedophile. That doesn't make sense. That's insane. That's either ignorance or willful ignorance. And to me, personally, I think willful ignorance is one of the worst sins there is. Now, it's easy to say we're all ignorant about something. but the important things in life. I have solutions, and I'll give them to you. And it's going to tee a lot of people off. And we're in the times now when the father will be against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the brother against the brother, sister against the sister.
We're going to move on.
Right.
So let's, yeah.
Your worst enemies, it's going to be in your own family.
Yep.
And already they're bad-mouthing or denigrating fundamentalists. And what fundamentalists is they believe in the Word, the Bible, literally. And the beast power church that's going to have all the churches the same, or togetherness. We're all going to be together, but it will be their doctrine and the doctrine that I try to live by is the Word, the Bible,
right.
And that takes faith, and I cannot do it. You cannot do it. Nobody can do it by themselves, only with the help of the Holy Spirit, because we're all corrupt. We from our parents, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the tree of good and evil, it went right down through the ages. Our parents, everybody's parents, regardless of what tribe, nation, color you are.
Right.
We
got to move on. Right. We got to move on, Fred. We're burning daylight here, so we got to move on. I agree, and you know, we can make these points a little more succinctly, so hopefully we can do that in the future. This is not supposed to be a sermon type broadcast, and I don't want to do that. I feel like that's kind of an ambush. So I definitely agree on the biblically based stuff, which is, I mean, I played the Pastor John MacArthur clip because, you know, it's a different perspective. And speaking of, you know, I mean, Fred, you and I have talked about the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 aspect of things, the strong delusion, I think that people are generally unaware of. But just to sort of add to that, you know, we played Neil Postman last week. Postman used a term, discontinuity. You know, and this is the guy, very, I don't know, kind of forward thinking, some might say, a visionary, author of Television and the Teaching of English Linguistics, A Revolution in Teaching, Teaching as a Subversive Activity, with, you know, wrote quite a bit with Charles Weingartner in the early years. Wrote BS in the Art of Crap Detection as the title, actually. You know, The Soft Revolution, a student handbook for turning schools around. He was really working on that. And then later, of course, wrote Amusing Ourselves to Death, Public Discourse in the Age of Show Business, and everything. You know, he sort of foreshadowed social media, saying now everyone is kind of in show business, all the more so now that we have social media. We played the clip from his Technopoly book interview on C-SPAN, Book TV. Then he wrote The End of Education, Redefining the Value of School. So this guy used the term discontinuity, and he really, we'll have to play that, but, you know, articulating what happens to people, I think, when they're fed a steady diet of television in particular, and how the discontinuity that is passed off on television cannot exist in other forms of life. And then you transfer that to social media, I would say, and online, the conversations that people have online where you know, people behave in a sort of vicious kind of way online that they never would in person. You wouldn't get away with it in person. Just sort of, you know, the viciousness and the ignoring of people, the gaslighting and all those kinds of things. You can't do that in person the way that you can online, with social media in particular. And so, you know, that I think gets to the, or speaks to the discontinuity that Neil Postman talked about. And the way that television does that in particular, where he would say, you know, if you watch a newscast, and they talk about these thousands of children dying somewhere, and then they say now this, which is supposed to make you mentally transition to something in a way that is very discontinuous. And then, of course, they go to the commercial, and a normal person would say, wait a minute, we can't do this. This is important, serious stuff that you're talking about. And so we've been conditioned to do that, and I don't think that people realize that. Nearly to the extent, if at all, that we should. And speaking of fundamentalists, you know, I keep talking about the Amish, Mennonite, you know, the Anabaptist contingent, basically, you know, the Luddite contingent. Doesn't seem to have these problems. I've talked about folks walking in the wilderness, enjoying a walk with family, and, you know, seemingly well adjusted from all outward appearances anyway, and don't have these issues. So I got a message from a friend earlier today. Speaking of, I mentioned Trump and Biden in the same context. You know, I think the fact that Donald Trump participated in a WWE performance kind of tells you all you need to know, as far as I'm concerned, at least in this context. So I got a message from a friend. He said, you were right. Can't believe Trump signed the POS COVID bill. That bill was not about COVID. It was about expansion of government powers. He is a part of the dialectic march to a totalitarian state. Absolutely. Controlled by the same folks in a certain sense. Just given a certain veneer by the media. So it's theater. Anyway, back to the phones. We lost Derek. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Pat.
I've heard that clip you were playing, and I have a different take on it, okay? First of all, he's from L.A., right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Los I don't Angeles? Know if he's from L.A., but that's where he pastors a okay. church, yes.
Well, anyway, what happened out there when Rodney King, the Rodney King riots, the police couldn't, you know, they couldn't control it. They had that rep out there saying, get out there and show your ire. She's still around. And Maxine Waters, and the fact was the media was lying. They said that you know, the policemen, five policemen, were beating Rodney King on the ground. Well, see, they showed that every 5 minutes until everybody. What happened was, well, anyway, I might have had something to do with it, but. The riot stopped because Rodney King came out and said, could we just all get along? He said, we're not going anywhere. We're all stuck on this earth. And they couldn't do anything anymore. They were doing it in his name. Well, they made sure they kill him now so he can't tell them to stop the riots. But what happened was the police were right because after the riot stopped, they started showing what really happened before the police beat him to the ground. And the fact was that he was beating up 5 policemen. They can do that on drugs. I've worked in the hospital. I see them. It take everybody in the ER and hold them down to get blood. That's what drugs does sometimes. And so, see, the media started the riot, which is what they wanted to do, because I think George Bush Jr., I mean, Senior, had something he wanted to put in out there. I forgot what they call it. And they wanted everything like that. Plus, they took a lot of guns. They took up everybody's gun, and they were, oh, well, anyway, so the police were not as guilty as they were made to look. And the same thing goes on here. I know there's a bunch of bad policemen out there, but a lot of them come back from Iraq and they become policemen because that's what they did, that sort of thing. You know, they ground. Well, anyway, we need policemen. We cannot do without them. And when if you want to defund policemen so you can tear up everything, go right ahead. But don't call them if somebody, you know, is doing something to you. They're not going to be there. All right. Why would a policeman want to go out there every day and his wife or people that hate him? They're not doing it. They're begging for policemen here in Fort Worth. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't do it. But, you know, the media, they always make a big to-do about everything that goes on. And I've had my own cases. I've tried to be arrested. I don't know, tell you how many times. Illegally, of course. And John knows, John Stattmiller. I remember when he was said, now, how old are you, Pat? And I said, 60. And they accused you of slashing tires? I said, yes. So I'm telling you that as far as taking up for the policeman, I'm on his side. And all right, the other thing about out there and here it's going on too. We had Black Lives Matter show up here because they had a Back the Blue rally. And we have bicycle cops and everything. So, you know, anyway, back to where I was. And also, too, people are, the soldiers are killing themselves for other reasons than their guilt. Come on. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when they came home from Vietnam, they were spit on because they, you
well, that's,
know, the communists.
That's not happening today, though.
Well, I didn't say you should worship a soldier anymore. He's probably queer, and somebody, you know, would have had to beat him off of him. They had, in the early 90s, they had, I forgot what they call them, leapfrogs or something. They'd jump on the top bunk, and they would put something in the guy and rape him. Okay? Well, you know.
I served in the military, and I've never heard that happen.
Okay, I
so,
know you
know.
Haven't, because you're younger, and I'm older.
I was in the service in that era that you just mentioned. Never heard of that.
Okay. Say it didn't happen. But there are things
I'm not saying
going
it didn't
there.
Happen. I'm just saying yeah. I've never heard of it.
Well,
so, you know.
You know, right now, if you look right now at a military book and the VA and all the things, I was just looking at it. Most of them are psychological problems, the rape and all kind of stuff going on now.
You know, I just dug out
really?
My copy of, I'm going to grab that book here in a second.
In fact, I had it here a minute ago and I thought, you know, nobody wants to go to war. Why in the world would anybody volunteer to go to war these days? Really? No, and I tell
well, it's
people,
not exactly war that anyone volunteers for. It's, you know, the other,
well,
it's
did.
The, it's
they
the
did.
Slogans.
They did.
No, it's
they
the slogans, anyway.
My brother died in Vietnam. He said, I cannot sit here while people are dying over there for freedom. I
and that's what, and that's the point. It's the slogans. It's not going to war that people volunteer for. It's defending your country or defending your family or... You know, those kinds of things, those slogans that we hear. Not the war that people sign up for, per se.
Okay, he didn't. All right. Back to where I was. They're dying from other reasons, suicide of other reasons, okay? They give them those SIR.
Again, I disagree.
SIR. Well, is there free speech at all?
You've been speaking freely for several minutes, Pat, uninterrupted.
Well, so did Fred, but I disagreed with him. I mean, I'm going along with that pastor. I don't know what you thought of the pastor. I just tuned in, and I'd heard that already. I thought this might be a rerun. But anyway,
I just thought it was worth complaining.
I'll tell you something going on. Do you remember Michael New, who said, I'm not going to put that blue helmet on. I am not going to be part of the UN force to do what I don't believe in doing. Do you remember Michael New? Do you know who he is?
Michael, I really don't like baited questions like that. I think, you know, I hope you know that.
It's not baited. I think they've done something to all of us that probably forget too much, and we need to be reminded, you know, that about your history. You teach that all the time. If you forget your history, come repeat it.
Michael New has to do with what we're talking about. And, you know, everything that you're talking about ends up in the mainstream press. When New York Times talks about a guy like Michael New, then that tells you all you need to know, I think.
Well,
it's part of the script.
Okay, you do know. Okay, well, I don't want to offend anybody by saying, asking them, you know, like Fred does to you. Because you do know things, but sometimes, okay, back to another thing that I was reading last night.
What's the point of mentioning Michael New before we go away from that? What's the point? You asked me if I know, and I don't like baited questions.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we don't need to be in NATO. We don't need to have anything to do with the United Nations.
I agree. I think the United Nations should be abolished. People have been saying maybe we should get rid of the World Health Organization. Well, why do we have any of these organizations when...
That's right.
As bad guys have been saying since their inception and actually before, we need to cede sovereignty. We need to cede sovereignty. We need to, well, at what point do you realize that, you know, you're going to be left with nothing, no autonomy, so to speak, no political autonomy at all? You know, at what point do you realize that? So,
well, I'm just trying to say that if this was a country that was started on freedom of religion, and I don't know if you believe that, but anyway, you told me one time you had a book. No, you didn't have it. It's a book called God, not what Reagan said, God, Home, and Country. It was God and Country by I forgot what his name was. He ran for, he almost beat this guy in Ohio. Anyway, it's 400 pages of quotes of the founding fathers to prove they were Christian, And it had about
William J. Federer.
There you go.
America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Okay. I don't think you had it. But anyway, I believe it, and other people believe it around there. A lot of things are going on now. Like I was just reading this book, and it is called Disclosure. And what it is these guys were in England. And we've done a lot of bad things. I'm not taking up for America. I think we've had nuclear material in different countries, and who knows, you know, what that was for. I don't know. But anyway, these guys were in England, and this might have been our UFO landed. And the thing, it does something to your memory. And I'm not saying that Russia don't have it or we don't have it, but they were actually killing people to keep them from even ever getting to say anything about it, monitoring everything they say for the rest of it. Don't say it, don't go on. the rest of their life. And the people just started killing themselves.
Okay.
Just putting the gun in their mouth and shooting themselves. And this is going on. It was in the UK. And we're friends with him, quote unquote. The UN and the NATO and all that kind of crap. And so we don't have anything in common with them. There wouldn't even be a Christian church in England right now if it wasn't for the missionaries. They went over to Africa and proselytized, and they come back and started a church in England. Do you know that? And so, and I'm kind of like with Johnny Delirious, they're trying to get us back. That's the bank of being. That's banking.
All right. Interesting stuff. Thanks for your call, Pat. Much appreciated. I was going to play last week. I thought about playing Kathy Lee Gifford's appearance on Fox News at Night with Shannon Bream. We don't have enough time to do that now. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. I just thought it was encouraging that, someone like Kathy Lee Gifford would say what she said. And it's pretty remarkable. There's less and less of that. We've heard for decades that, I think in dialectical fashion, both sides have been scripted. Again, it gets back to what Malcolm X said. It's brilliant. In that 1 minute, I think there's enough to really just ruminate on. And if you're seeing it in the mainstream press, there's probably a reason. And usually if it has any sort of truth, or if there's a kernel of truth or fact in there, it's probably misrepresented. And my only reminder in that is, as I have said many times, the devil is masterful at that. And you can hear things, you can hear facts that are not necessarily in a truthful context. And therefore it becomes disinformation or misinformation. One of the best examples that I like to think of is the devil quoting Psalm 91 to Jesus in the wilderness. And he quotes it verbatim, but, conveniently leaves out the next verse, which would implicate himself, and therefore is a completely different context. He's misappropriating context, even though he's quoting scripture verbatim. And in John chapter 8, Jesus says that he is a liar and the father of lies, and there is no truth in him, which is an interesting thought when you consider the fact that he quoted scripture verbatim. No truth in him. Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says that, we're out of time. You understand what I'm saying. So that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.